Today on Real Radio.
You've read your Bible, right? And you know what apostasy means there in the Bible? That in the last days there's going to be increased apostasy. That is, people who will not cling to the faith, they'll walk away from it, or they'll redefine it, and they will gather to themselves teachers, it says, that tickle their ears. Jeremiah put it this way. They just want to hear from people that tell them what they want to know, what they want to hear. You and I, all of us, will be tempted in this area. Will we be able to stand there when they begin to mock and ridicule us on TV and in person and on the street and maybe even here in this building? Who knows? Will we be able to take it?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at a section in chapter 9, which includes what is arguably the most important question of life. In the words of the Messiah, "Who do you say that I am?" Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called, "What Do You Think About Jesus?"
Don't you feel like that when somebody says, "Hey, are you the one that left the Bible on my doorstep?" It was my neighbor next to me. That temptation comes, and you stop right there, and immediately in my mind this week, "Hey, are you the guy?" On the internet, my name popped up there, and it said some not nice things. And my first thought was, if I could just talk to this person and tell them, what was I doing? That sounded real. If I could just dialogue. You know what? In my mind, already I had determined if that's the path I was going to take, I would compromise. Why? Because all of us battle with the fear of man. What do people think about me? Have you realized it doesn't matter what they think about us? Because what they think about us is wrong to begin with. They don't know. And it doesn't matter. It's what God thinks about us. That's what matters. And so we stand, or so we associate with Jesus, and we receive this cross. And frankly, when we understand that, it's a glad thing. It's a good thing. And then thirdly, under this point, verse 25, is your faith the greatest possession you have? Oh, church, listen. You and I live in a rich culture for now. We're blessed tremendously. But can I make this assumption that whatever you and I own, it really doesn't declare who we are? Please understand that your BMW or your Porsche or your plane or your boat or your house is not who you are. These are things that you have been blessed with. Do you understand that's not what you are? If you have those things, praise God. If you don't have those things, praise God. It's not the things. What do you own that is the most precious thing in your life? Let me put it to you this way. What do you have worth living for and worth dying for? That's what Jesus is saying. It's most precious because he says in verse 25, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" It's not going to help you in the end. As a human being, look, I jotted this down in my notes for me. I'll let you in on some private thoughts. If it blesses you, great. If it offends you, don't be offended. It's my thought. As a human being, where did I get the idea that I can control my life and do a good job of it? Growing up godless or God little, truth is, we're not very good at managing our lives. And I looked at that. I wrote that down because when I was praying over this message, that's what thought came to my mind. Where did I get the idea that I even had the controls of my life to begin with? Where did that come from? right from the very start of Jack's little life. I started with a false assumption. I'm in control. Isn't it funny? We used to dress up, 5 years old, we used to dress up in our father's army gear and walk around. Don't look at me, girls. You used to dress up in your mom's dress with the high heels and click, click, and act all big. Call the shots. I'm in control. And you can see little personalities, by the way, coming out really early in little kids. Where did we learn? Where did we ever think that we were the ones in control? We kind of grew into it, huh? We kind of just grew right into it. Those shoes that were that big and our little feet like that, the feet grew into the shoe, and then we assumed, I am in control. Wow, look at me. Think about it. Where in the world did Jack ever get that idea that he was ever in control? Isn't that funny? And yet, if I grew up without God, or if I grew up with a little bit of God, someone's going to be in control. And Jesus says, when we are, we will attempt to amass things to ourselves. We create a little kingdom, but in the end, it cannot save us. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, for the love of money, not money, but the love of money is a root to all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith. Yikes. That means money, the love of money can pull you off your path of faith. In their greediness, and they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wow. All because of the love of money or the love of things. And then fourth and final point, verses 26 to 27. What do you think about Jesus Christ? Are you willing to take on his name? Are you willing to take on his name? Now, there's a little play on words here. I didn't mean it to be. Are you willing to take on his name? What does that mean to you? Those of you who are like in marketing or sales or a rep of some company, you have a name tag when you go to like a convention or something, right? You have a name tag, DuPont or IBM. It says IBM, usually it's over your name, right? It's usually it's the first thing, the I falling downward as the I goes. What does it hit first? Not your name. The company doesn't want your name first. The company wants its name first. IBM. And then under there somewhere is your name. You have taken on the name of IBM, and it's pinned to you. So you walk around, and you are IBM in that little spot, in that little moment, and my name is Jack. IBM Jack. To take on that name, that's certainly what we're talking about in the context of our study. But some people, if they don't take on his name, then they'll take on his name. When I say take on his name, I mean, all right, God, it's you and I. Best of 12 rounds. Oh, you sure you want to do that? Because here's what it comes down to. Truly, you either take on his name or you take on his name. You either say Jesus is Lord or he's not in your life. He is, no matter what your opinion is, it's best to agree with God. You say, well, he's forcing me. No, he's not forcing you. He honors your decision. So take on his name, or you'll take on his name. How so? Jesus said, verse 26, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and in his Father's and the holy angels. When he comes back. By the way, mark this, my friend. No prophet, no just a prophet, could ever fulfill verse 26. This Jesus who is God in flesh is coming again. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come. When he says, for whoever is ashamed, amazing word. The word means to cringe, to disfigure your face, to turn away, or to look the other way. To be ashamed of. If somebody says, are you a Christian? And you go, well, I mean, you know, you're cringing. Do you remember Peter? When Peter denied Jesus. And then it was the first denial. Then a few moments later, maybe an hour or so later, the third denial. Did you notice that with each denial, he escalated his turning away from Jesus. He cringed. Aren't you glad? Listen, he cringed when they associated him with Jesus. He said, Peter did a very bad thing. Yes, he did do a very bad thing. Have I not done the same thing? And don't look at me so holy either. Because listen, if somebody says, hey, you want to hear a dirty joke? Oh, there was this guy, and he had, and we stand there and go, ha, ha, ha. By not being salt and light, we're agreeing with it. When the tax man says, just say this here in this box, just say this, they'll never check this. We're denying him. It's that thing that we do for our comfort and our protection. And here's this thing going on mere human terms, we enter into it, and then we are actually sinning against the God of heaven and earth. And we need his forgiveness, no doubt about it. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes. This is a strong thing. I believe, and I want to be careful how I say this. In this 21st century that you and I are living in, I believe that you and I are living in the opening days of apostasy. You guys, you've read your Bible, right? And you know what apostasy means there in the Bible? That in the last days there's going to be increased apostasy. That is, people who will not cling to the faith, they'll walk away from it, or they'll redefine it, and they will gather to themselves teachers, it says, that tickle their ears. Jeremiah put it this way. They just want to hear from people that tell them what they want to know, what they want to hear. We live in that world now, and it's getting worse. Having said that, you and I, all of us, will be tempted in this area. Will we be able to stand there when they begin to mock and ridicule us on TV and in person and on the street and maybe even here in this building? Who knows? Will we be able to take it? Church, our Christian brothers and sisters are taking it right now in various parts of the world. Look at what's happening in Sudan. Look what happened in Sierra Leone. Look what happened in Nigeria, in Iberia. Look what's happening in other places of Africa. And the world and the UN turns its face away. And America turns its face away. And when you go through all of the junk that you read about in the newspapers and the internet, and you get all the way down to the question is, why is this happening to those people? You get the answer. And nobody wants to say it. People are killing Christians by the tens of thousands. Over 200,000 Christians a year are being killed. Well over 200,000 a year. Why? Because they're not ashamed to be associated with the name of Jesus. And I think we're living in some pretty hostile times. Listen, are you guys awake? We're almost done. You guys okay? You're going to want to write this down. Can we really be living in hostile times? Can we really be living in a time? Jesus said that there would come a time when, unless he came back and stopped the direction of the planet, there would be no flesh left on earth. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, persecutions would break out more and more before the end. On Sunday nights, you've been learning how much Islam is being taught in your children's school right here in town. Children assuming names and wearing the robes and going and speaking Arabic terms in your class here. Why? What does it mean? Where are we going? Quran chapter 9, verse 5. Quran chapter 9, verse 5 says, now remember, the Quran's a relatively new book compared to the Bible. Fastest growing faith on the earth. Slay the infidels, the Christians and the Jews, wherever you find them. Take them captive and besiege them and prepare them for an ambush. Quran 5, verse 33. Surah 5, 33. The only reward of those who make war against Allah, that's the God of the Quran, and his messenger Muhammad, and strive after corruption in the land, will be killed, crucified, or have their hands and feet cut off on alternate sides. You say, well, that would never happen. It's happening all over right now. Tell it to the people in the Philippines, in Malaysia, and in the Middle East. Why am I citing this? Because there are those who believe in persecution. Didn't Jesus say in the end there'll be those who are going to kill you and they think they're doing God a favor for doing it? Isn't that bizarre? You say, Jack, that can't be. I don't want to hear this. I understand that. That's why I'm saying it. Are you willing to take on his name? You can be resolute, my friend, in the face of ridicule. Jesus said, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words. We don't have to be. He's with us, church. Number two, you and I can be confident with his acceptance. Jesus said, if you come to me, I will in no wise turn you away. Church, one of the reasons why you and I are uncomfortable in this world is because we see this world as our home. It's not our home. And then finally, you can be trusting him for the rest of your life. When Jesus said this, I tell you of the truth, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God come. Well, I said, man, that's awesome. But did that even happen? Yeah, it happened, but we need to understand. In fact, we'll get into it in the next few weeks with the continuance of chapter 9, but and we'll explain it in more detail. The point that I want to draw to your attention right now is that we can have confidence in his acceptance. Jesus accepts you. When you come to Jesus and you say, I want you, Lord, listen, you guys know the requirement now. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can you say that this morning? I don't mean just say it, but do you mean it? If you mean that, then you don't have to be afraid or cower when you're ridiculed. Last week when we had that man disrupt the service and shout and all the stuff that he did, and I was talking to him afterward, during, and the things that he was saying, did not want anything to do with Jesus Christ, did not want anything to do with the Bible, denied that Jesus Christ is the Christ and denied that he's the Son of God. What do? I'm on my knees trying to hold the guy's hand, pleading with him, please, what will you do with your sins without Jesus? He had no answer for that, but he said, I don't want Jesus. I don't want anything to do with Jesus. Jesus is not the Jesus that I believe in. The Christian heart breaks over that. You say, well, Jack, I've never shouted such a thing. But is it in your heart to deny him? Or is it in your heart this morning to say, you are the Christ? See, Jesus' name is not a curse word. His name is the name of eternal life. Yes, these things that have been announced are hard, but they're biblical. They're serious things. So is your life. So is your eternity, serious things. We're done. You can close your Bibles. I will not do what I'm going to tell you about here. I won't do it. I want to do it, but I won't do it. And that would be this morning, if I were to say, all those you know you're a Christian, you know you're born again, you can stand to your feet, there would be those that would not know what to do about that. They're not sure. They don't know. They don't know if they died today that they would go to heaven. They don't know that for sure. So they would be very uncomfortable, and I don't want to do that. But just the suggestion of it puts a little bit of terror. And listen, I'm just a little silly little man, but the Bible says Jesus will come again someday. And he said, whoever's for me, whoever acknowledges me, I will acknowledge before my Father which is in heaven. And whoever denies me, refuses me, I must deny or refuse him before my Father which is in heaven. Man. We pick up the phone all the time and we dial a number. Maybe it's your favorite restaurant. And you say, can you please reserve a table for two? The name? Jack. And when we finally get through the traffic, and when we finally get through all the stoplights, and finally get through all of the stuff, what do we expect on the other end? When we get the car in the parking lot, we We don't have to run to the door. We make our way to the door. Why? Because we're confident. There is a reservation. And we walk up, and there's people sitting down. You ever been there? There are people sitting down. They're all waiting. They're asking, how long's the wait? Hour and a half. We were at a restaurant in Costa Mesa, Maggiano's. Have you been to Maggiano's? You walk in there. We walked in there one day. We had reservation. Walked in there one day, and it was a 3.5 hour wait. And these people are going, what? What? There are some people sitting there hoping, you know, I think I'll be hungry in 3.5 hours. And then if they're holding a table for you, what do? You walk in, you look at everybody. I mean, you just look nicely at everybody. Hi. Walk up and you stand there and you've got the password. Guess can I help you? My name's Jack. Table for two, 6 o'clock. Come right this way. Listen, that's exactly how it works. Yes, I'd like to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Password, Jesus. My name's Jack. Thank you very much. I'll get there whenever I get there. That's up to him. Until then, I'm en route. Called life. When that moment comes, the Bible says angels escort us into the presence of God. They take us to his presence. Name, please. My name's Jack, but the reservation's under Jesus. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Bible says, and there an entrance shall be made open for you. That is huge, a grand entrance. They not only say, right this way, please. No cool angel goes, follow me. Just watch my wings. Let's go. Not that. What's your name? Jack. My reservation's in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. Trumpets go. The doors swing open. We're going to see people that we've known in Christ. There's going to be angels flying. A table that goes for who knows how long, full of food. Jesus said, I'm going to sup there and drink with you and eat with you, and we're going to rejoice before the throne. Oh, this is open. There's a fanfare. Oh, my goodness. Come on. Can you imagine? Or it will be, Jesus said, if you don't do that, the Bible says you'll be taken away into everlasting darkness. Who wants that? Please choose. The choice is yours.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a mini-series called What Do You Think About Jesus? It's a look at Luke chapter 9 and verses 18 through 27, part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, because this is quite possibly life's most important question, we've made it a mini-series, and in fact, we're making it available on DVD, and it's called Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word. Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word. It's a valuable tool for evangelism as well as for your own personal review. Our offer is this. We'll send it to you for your contribution to Real Radio of any amount. Just ask for it by title, Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word, and it's on DVD. There's more than one way to get in touch. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in your tax-deductible contribution, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.